just pray, Father, indeed, that your word would break forth in power. We pray, Father, that we may hear what you are saying to each one of us this morning, that we may go out of this place this morning ready to do your will and to go the way that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, going to talk about the reading we had from Philippians. Philippians, the Gospel of Philippians, the Epistle of Philippians, is all about partnership. It's all about working together. And in this letter, we find the word koinonia frequently used in the four very brief chapters of Philippians. Koinonia means participating in something with someone else. In Paul's day, it was a normal word for a business partnership, in which those involved would be sharing and doing the work in one hand, and the financial responsibilities on the other. The Philippians were partners in the gospel, partners in grace. In other words, they were in the gospel business. So if we look at that word, koinonia, as Paul used it, it means for Christians more than just meeting together, though that is part of it. It also means sharing with one another in a common enterprise. So we share in the gospel. We share in the spirit. We share in his suffering. We are not alone. God has given us his grace so that all of us, each one of us, may participate in it. By being a Christian, we become part of the body of Christ. So when we meet together for fun, for worship, for prayer, for support, although we may feel we come on our own, as Christians we come together as partners. We need each other. We need to be partners so that the gospel business may flourish. If someone in Philippi said, "I am a citizen of Rome," he or she would not mean that they wanted to go back there. They would just be saying where they belong, where their philosophy of life came from, what were the important things in their culture. They would wish to expand the Roman influence where they were living, and they knew that if they were threatened in any way, then Rome would come to their rescue. It is with this background that we should interpret Paul's word that our citizenship is in heaven. What he is saying is not that, so therefore we are waiting until we can go and live in heaven, where we belong. No. He is saying that our loyalty should declare where we belong now, this day. God wants to use us to bring the life and the rule of heaven to bear on earth. We are often not very good at doing this. We fail, we sin, we go wrong. But God will not leave us. We have his promise in verse 21, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. How are we in Harwell and Chilton, and for those who are visiting for the churches where they worship, how are we as a Christian community facing the challenge of the world around us? What does it mean for our church communities to be citizens of heaven? Do we place anything above our relationship with Christ? Does our community reflect the risen power of Christ, as Paul wanted to know the power of Christ's resurrection in his life? So important that we continue to grow in our relationship with Christ. In verse 17, Paul was encouraging the Philippians to follow his example. In those days, the good news was spread by word of mouth. There was no Bible, no theological colleges, no courses that people could go on. People learnt about the Saviour by watching, listening, and following the example of lives like Paul. He encouraged them to take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Perhaps that is a timely reminder for us to learn from those great men and women of God that we know about, and we've read of, or we perhaps read about. There's so much to learn from others who are following the correct patterns that enable each one of us to be better citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We can learn from one another, and meeting together, sharing together, is one way in which this happens. During Lent here in Harwell and Chiltern, we have Lent Central, as well as home groups meeting at various times during the week. We are all partners together, and the sum of the parts is a greater force than each person working individually. Meeting together so that we can learn how we can bring God's word into the world in which we live, because we are called to participate in the business of the gospel. So as we reflect on those words from Philippians, what does it mean to each one of us this morning as the community of Christ in this place to follow the pattern that's been laid down for us in the Word of God? For Paul, the most important thing is to know Jesus Christ. In our own relationship with Jesus, is our own relationship with Jesus such that everything else just pales into insignificance? Our righteousness is not our own, something that we can have through following a set of rules. Our righteousness is through faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that believes that the risen Jesus is the Messiah, and a loyalty to him that is shown in the way we behave and the patterns that we follow. Paul goes on to point out that if we are truly mature, we know we haven't arrived at our destination yet. Each one of us is at a different stage on our journey. Some of us have been Christians for a very long time, others not so long. And maybe there are some of us here this morning who have not yet committed themselves to following Christ. What is important is that we obey God in the light of the knowledge that we have been given by him. We don't have to know it all to have a close relationship with Jesus. We do not have to think that we need a certain level of knowledge to fulfill his work in our lives. But we do have to be open to getting to know God all of our earthly lives and beyond. The important thing to remember is that we continue to learn what God's purpose is for our own lives. His purpose is greater than anything we can do ourselves. And the way to fulfill his purpose is to trust him. We should be able to start each new day pressing ahead, asking for forgiveness and leaving our failings and sins at the foot of the cross. I'm sure many of us have heard of Eric Liddell of Chariots of Fame Fire, who was a Christian. On the first bend of his 440-yard race, he was knocked off the track. But he did not stop. He got up and he ran so hard that he won the race. How many of us have that kind of determination until we have won the race that is set before us this morning? God has called us to live resurrected lives on this earth. That is our goal. We cannot be perfect, but we can press on towards that goal in everything that we do each day. We should not give up when everything seems to be against us. Because if we have died to sin and risen with Christ, then even in our imperfection, in our sufferings, we can still allow God's grace to transform us, to transform our lives so that they become as his glorious resurrected body. In our reading this morning from Luke's Gospel, we have that reassurance. We have Jesus' longing to gather us together and uses the metaphor as a hen protects her chicks under her wings. But the people in Jerusalem were not willing. Are we willing to allow Jesus to protect us with his wing? A hen does that in a very special way, and there are stories of hens being in fires and protecting their chickens with their wings, and the chicks survive, but sadly the and the mother hen does not. Jesus protects us. And we see in Jesus both the human trust in God and God's own commitment to what he has promised. Jesus will allow nothing to put him off following the necessary path towards Jerusalem and the cross. Nothing will deter God from what he has bound himself to on our behalf. Knowing Christ, learning more about him, is more important than anything else. Do we know and trust Jesus so that we are willing to respond to Jesus' call on our life as individuals and as a community, the community of God in the place where we live and we work, wherever it might be? So to finish this morning, I'd like you just to pick up your service sheets and return to the Psalm 27 on page 3. And I'd just like us to say together verses 11 to 14. You won't sing the glory at the end, just the verses from the psalm. And just think about the way Jesus may be speaking to you this morning. So we say together from verse 11, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path, because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, starting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.